let me have a couple of readings with you this morning to start us out. I'm going to read first from the Bible, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and I'm reading from the Inclusive Bible. Sisters and brothers, I beg you through the mercy of God to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Don't conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds so that you can judge what God's will is, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. In light of the grace I have from God, I urge each of you not to exaggerate your own importance. Each of you must judge yourself soberly by the standard of faith God has given to you. May you have blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. I'd also like to share a reading with you by Octavia Butler, her book, Parable of the Sower. Embrace diversity. Unite or be divided, robbed, ruled, killed by those who see you as prey. Embrace diversity or be destroyed. Before I come back up here, Carol would love it if you would play us another song. Thank you.
So today I'm doing some Celtic and some Jewish. The piece I just played was the Aaron Boat Song, and now I'm going to play Jerusalem of Gold. Thank you.
thank you for that, Kara. I was actually speaking to one of our members this morning saying I really was looking forward to your music today because after watching the January 6th hearings, my anxiety, this is not a joke, has been up. My heart's been racing for about 2 days now. And your music always brings me back to this peaceful, correct, good place. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I needed it. I can't speak for the rest of it, but I needed it. So thank you. My message this morning is entitled Christian Exceptionalism and the I'm Special Confirmation Bias. So the bumper sticker said, God loves us all, but I'm his favorite. Now, I'm not going to pretend like that's not funny, but it's also wrong. Not only is it wrong, but it also points to a much bigger problem that absolutely ruins much of what we read or precisely what we interpret from the Bible. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be loved. It's human nature to want to know that you matter to others. We all want to know that we are special to somebody. One of the strengths of the Christian faith, as well as many other faiths, is the confirmation that God loves you, that you are special. It's also one of the biggest problems with what has become the most dominant voice of Christianity for most of our recent history. The problem happens when it migrates from special to more special. My problem with the concept of more special is that it doesn't make sense based on what Jesus tells us about the God who loves us all unconditionally. You see, there can be no variance in unconditionally. It's without condition. That doesn't leave space for more special. So, yes, you are special. And so am I. So is everybody, which on a side note is a perfectly good reason to support LGBTQ folks, not only this month, but all year long. But for me, the understanding that God loves us all unconditionally, it begs the question of how did we get here to this place where we are told by so many folks who claim to be Christian that a God of unconditional love seems to have created a world in which some people are more loved, more privileged, more special, and which we seem to have what some people see as an instruction manual in the Bible, which actually somehow confirms much more special, that some people are much more special than others. I have an idea how we got there. I think we got there from a thing that's called confirmation bias. Confirmation bias is the human tendency to search for and affirm information that supports a person's personal beliefs that already exist. And as you might imagine, the impact of confirmation bias is even stronger on sort of emotionally connected issues and deeply held beliefs, say like religion. I actually call the full thing of it within religion the I'm special confirmation bias. It's a sort of double whammy of humanity being wired to believe that we are more special than other people, and then our need to confirm that we actually are more special than other people. Then enter the B-I-B-L-E. By its nature, the Bible is at times somewhat ambiguous. Now, with conservative estimates of more than 40 authors over a period of a few thousand years written in three different languages and all of the translation problems that come along with trying to put those into English, it's really not all that surprising that the Bible is at times ambiguous. The problem is what confirmation bias does with that ambiguity. It substitutes the questions that should rightfully be created by ambiguity and what it offers, and instead it provides answers. Answers that affirm that the ambiguity actually means what already exists in the reader's mind, which is, I'm more special. I'm more special. Did you ever wonder how an all-loving God condemns LGBTQ folks to hell? Well, it's the I'm special confirmation bias. There's nothing like taking a group that the Bible mostly is disinterested in, 7-ish verses out of more than 31,000 verses, and then turning them into one of the most somehow vile groups in the eyes of God. So there's nothing like that to really build up your I'm more special needs without having to do anything other than be judgmental about other people. Did you even wonder, take that a step further, how an all-loving, all-powerful God allows folks to spend an entire eternity in hell for a few years of being back on earth? That's the I'm special confirmation bias. Condemning other people to a never-ending fiery torture for not living into your own interpretation of what piousness means based on a sometimes somewhat ambiguous text will do wonders for your own special ego. Over the ages, the I'm special confirmation bias has helped Christians justify slavery, the Holocaust, segregation, subjugation of women, apartheid, the Spanish Inquisition, racism, domestic violence, all sorts of exploitation. And the list honestly could just go on and on, except I'd probably get tongue-tied even more and stumble over it all. We felt in the past completely justified in our loveless actions in the name of a loving God because we believed ourselves to be confirmed in our specialness, which naturally comes with the ability to hand out and extract justice. The Christian exceptionalism we see so heavy-handedly practiced in the U.S. is rooted in the I'm special confirmation bias. It's a bias that's so strong, it overpowers unambiguous teachings of Jesus, like a new commandment I give you, that you love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Let the one among you who is without sin cast the first stone. And why worry about a speck in your neighbor's eye when there is a log in your own eye? Far too many Christians have confirmed themselves as the keeper of all that is righteous and pious, and they play God with their judgment and punishment. But not an all-loving God. It's a God that is vengeful and wishes to see other people suffer. A God that knows that they are special. The interesting thing is, when you read the biblical text through the lens of the teachings of Jesus, it should lead us to lives that build people up, help those who are marginalized, extend love to all people, and approach all questions with humility and compassion. If they don't, there's a pretty good chance that we're allowing the I'm special confirmation bias to shape the text. As I've said before, if your God causes you to hurt others, to turn an indifferent eye to the hungry and the homeless, to belittle, berate, and bully others, if it causes you to feel superior to others, to discount, dismiss, and disavow science, if it encourages you to damn those who are not like you to a fiery pit and allows you to claim that your God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-loving, that's not God. It's the worst parts of your humanity wrapped up in visions of grandeur. Considering where we have arrived as a nation and how an emerging I'm special confirmation bias in Christianity was co-opted and spread through most of the privileged segments of our society, I believe that those of us who consider ourselves to be somewhat enlightened Christians or enlightened spiritual seekers, we have a responsibility to respond. The teachings of Jesus seem to indicate that as well. When those whose society already provides special privileges, people like white folks, men, the rich, people who identify as straight, and yes, Christians themselves, when those whose society already provides special privileges turn a blind eye to the needs of those who are marginalized, we set our nation on a course of intolerance, hate, and ruin. And all of it rooted deeply in the I'm special confirmation bias. We must remember that events like the Holocaust or the Shoah didn't start with gas chambers. It started with politicians dividing people. That should sound uncomfortably familiar to Americans right now. It started with building up the idea that some people were more special than others. It started with intolerance and hate speech. It started when people became desensitized to it all and turned a blind eye because they were safe. They somewhat peacefully resided in the dominant parts of society. The following poem, which many of you are probably familiar with, is credited to German Lutheran pastor Martin Niemöller. It's found carved onto the walls of the United States Holocaust Museum. First it came from the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. We must speak out against systems that place one group of people above others. You see, systems of domination bear fruit of domination. The same strange fruit that white supremacists hung from trees in the South. The same strange fruit that baked in Nazi ovens in Auschwitz. The same strange fruit that is pounded and pulverized in the founding of the United States. The same strange fruit that was left to rot to death in Africa because the cost of a cure would undercut someone's bottom line. The same strange fruit that is smashed daily with bullets and bombs in the Ukraine. The same strange fruit that is battered, bruised, and buried because of homophobic bullying. We must speak out. We must speak out because turning a blind eye in the face of others being abused, belittled, and even bludgeoned is the opposite of spirituality. There is nothing of a higher good in it. It puts you on a I'm more special pedestal and ignores the struggles of others. And in doing so, produces some mighty strange fruit. As Niemöller suggested, we must not only speak out, but we must not allow anyone to silence us. Not our government, not our friends, not even our family. As a matter of fact, if it is necessary, if it is necessary, we must be willing to break laws to do so. You see, a law that prevents someone from speaking up for what is right is an unjust law. And as the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said in his letter from a Birmingham jail, one has not only a legal but a moral responsibility to obey the law. Conversely, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. When government acts to divide us, to promote some people as more special, more acceptable than others, resistance becomes a necessary spiritual practice. Let me say that again. When governments act to divide us, to promote some people as more special or more acceptable than others, resistance becomes a necessary spiritual act. It's part of why I make points to participate in rallies like next week's Poor People's and Low Wage Workers' Assembly and Moral March on Washington and to the polls. see, it is our spiritual responsibility to stay informed. It is our faithful duty to stay diligent. It is our moral obligation to make our voices heard and to share with those most in need the access that our places of privilege offer. We must stand up not only for our own rights and interests, but for the rights and interests of others. We must promote equality, justice, and love in our every action, but not fall victim to the false perspective that to do so means we must do so timidly and with trepidation. Put more plainly in the words of American civil rights hero Representative John Lewis, never ever be afraid to make some noise and to get into good trouble, necessary trouble. And finally, at this moment in time, at this moment in history, the most important thing we can do is vote for those who hold these truths to be self-evident. That all people are created equal. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So please, when the midterms roll around, get out and vote. Get out and vote. Make your voices heard. And in the meantime, don't be afraid to get into some good, necessary trouble. Carol, would you play some music for us, please? Thank you.
This is another Jewish melody. It's called Evening of Roses. Thank you.
thank you. Thank you, Carol, very much. And a reminder, you can hear more of Carol and learn more about her at harpable.com. Encourage you to do that. Today, for our time together as we go into prayer and meditation, I'm going to share a prayer that I've written as part of a prayer book that I'm working on as part of my doctorate work. And I wanted to share one with you. This one is entitled, On the Divisions We've Created. Let's bow our heads together. We've been conditioned to look at the world through an either-or division. Either you're with us, or either you're right, or either you're straight, or our oversimplification of the immense complexity of creation has left us with divisions that are not real. They are not a reflection of the realities woven into creation. We've made our own creation. It is less complex, less sophisticated, less inclusive. Our false either-or compartmentalization creates in us these divisions. Divisions based on the faulty premise that creation is simple, that creation always has easy answers. Divisions that deny the value of the rich and immense complexity of creation. May we see that life is complex. May we see that it is rare for life to be so either or. May we learn to value and celebrate the complexity of those differences it creates. And may this insight pull us back together, break down these human-made walls of division, and make us whole again. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with one another and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life, and may your words and actions bring that love and happiness to each person you meet. Go now in peace, and go in love.